Are we recording? Great. I will call this special meeting of the Madison Police and Fire Commission to order on October 24th, 2024. Present are myself, President William Greer, Commissioner Mary Schaaf, and Commissioner Azure Fudge Hart. Are there any disclosures or recusals at this time? Hearing none, there will be no special public comment at this special meeting. So we will get right into the business at hand. Our first item on the agenda is consideration and potential action to add candidates to the police department eligibility list. Captain Patton, that is your item, I believe.
It is. Good afternoon, President Greer and Commissioners. Thank you for today's special meeting.
You're welcome.
I'll jump right into it. We sent over materials yesterday. I just wanted to explain a little bit. We sent over a photo board, and because of our process here, we're including always candidates who are up for discussion and candidates who've already been acted upon. And so in the photo board that you had in front of you, the background candidates, those are candidates who some of which are going to be up for consideration to be added to eligibility today. The folks under the eligibility list, those are folks you've already approved to be added to eligibility. And then the final page that has the hiring list, those are folks who've already we've brought forth and they have been added with your approval to the hiring list already. And so we'll continue to update this photo board as we have these meetings, and I hope this meets your needs. And then in terms of today's business, if we go back then to the bio profile sheet, we're going to be putting forth at Chief Barnes' approval 12 names from this list for your consideration to be added to the eligibility list. And with your permission, I'll simply begin with an introduction and a background of each of those 12 candidates, if that's how you'd like to do this.
Yes, please.
Okay. So if you're on the bio profile sheet, I'll be going through these in alphabetical order. And so our first candidate for consideration is Samuel Akinduro. He is a 22-year-old male African American. He has a bachelor's degree from Southeast Missouri State University. He's currently employed as a sales associate. Our second candidate for consideration is Jack Austin. Jack is a 22-year-old male white. He has a bachelor's degree from UW-Madison. He's currently employed as a server's assistant. The third candidate today is Delaney Brown. Delaney Brown is a 22-year-old female white. She has a bachelor's degree from UW-La Crosse in psychology and Spanish, and she's currently employed as a sports supervisor. The fourth is Mason Kronk. Mason is a 23-year-old male white, 60 credits towards a bachelor's degree from Southern New Hampshire University. He's currently employed as an orthodontic technician. Change. I think we're going to be going on to the next page now. Our next is Noah Hansen. Noah Hansen is a 23-year-old male white. He's got a bachelor's degree from St. Louis University. And he's currently employed as an aircraft charter coordinator. Next is Maurice Henderson. Maurice is a 21-year-old male African American with 69 credits towards a bachelor's degree from UW Milwaukee. He's currently employed as a program leader. The next is Edgar Hernandez. 21-year-old male Hispanic with a bachelor's degree from UW-La Crosse, and he's currently employed as an administrative support, in administrative support. Next is Julian Lutz. Julian is a 23-year-old male listed as other. He has a bachelor's degree from UW-Milwaukee, or he'll be finishing his bachelor's degree here from UW-Milwaukee in criminal justice. He's currently employed as a window cleaner. I'm changing pages now on the bio profile sheet. And the next candidate for consideration is Jason Nguyen. Jason is a 28-year-old male Asian. He has a master's degree from Arizona State University and a bachelor's degree from Texas A&M University. He's currently employed as a client specialist engineer. Next candidate is Theodore Paul. Theodore is a 24-year-old male white. He has 83 credits towards a bachelor's degree from UW-Milwaukee, and he's currently employed with the Army National Guard. Next is Jeremy Reitenbach, if I'm saying that right, I hope. 25-year-old male white with a bachelor's degree from DePaul University. Jeremy is currently employed as a crisis intervention specialist here in Madison with Journey. And then our final candidate for consideration for this eligibility list is Madeline Roberts. Madeline is a 30-year-old female white with a bachelor's degree from the University of Massachusetts in Boston, currently employed as a courier. And those are the 12 candidates we're putting forth today for consideration to be added to our eligibility list.
Are there any questions for Captain Patton? Mary?
Just one quick question, because I think that there were more people than that on the, and I might have missed this. There are more people that list the date of 10/24, and on the document that we got, is that right?
It is, it's a great question. And that just, I think in terms of our process, the way this is working in terms of all the number of meetings that happen and in succession, this, what we sent over to you is all that we're being considered at this time to be added to the eligibility list. Then we completed additional paperwork and a final meeting just this morning to finalize that list, bringing it down to just 12 of those candidates. It doesn't necessarily mean that a candidate is out at this point. An example is there's three of the candidates who are on the materials that we sent over for your initial look. We're still waiting for some final documentations, and just in terms of due diligence, we'll wait till we have all the documents back from the background investigation before we bring them forward for your consideration. So just 12 of the names for today.
I have no.
Any other question? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve these additions to the eligibility list.
I'll make that motion to approve the 12 candidates as presented by Captain Patton to the eligibility list.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded to approve these candidates to the eligibility list. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. The motion carries.
Thank you very much, and thank you again for the special meeting.
You're welcome. Anything else?
Nothing from mine. I just wanted to see, Michael, do you need that list emailed over to you, that final 12, or do you have those from the materials?
That would be wonderful.
I'll send that over in a follow-up email, and I think that concludes my business for today. It's good to see Chief Barnes and Captain Worley, and wish you all well in the second portion of the meeting.
Thank you. So we will move on to the next portion of the meeting, which is an informal discussion with Captain Eugene Worley, who is a candidate for promotion at this time. And we typically set aside time to meet with candidates and learn a bit more about them and their ascent to the rank of captain and the path they took to get there. So, good afternoon, Captain Worley.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for having me today.
You're welcome. It's good to see you. Could we just start out by hearing something about you and your journey to the Madison Police Department? in how you were able to rise through the ranks and achieve your current status?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll try to be as succinct as possible to give you an overview of my career. So I was lucky enough to be hired with the Madison Police Department in May of 2009 and completed our Standard Academy there. I then went into patrol services, working primarily in our West Police District on the afternoon shift after field training. At that point in time, I think many of you are aware that the West District was a third geographically of the entirety of the city. During my time in patrol, I worked every aspect and every corner of that district on that afternoon shift. I was a patrol officer for about 6 years. And during that time, I was involved in a lot of different committees and programs and initiatives. Some of the big ones were continuing to expand our mental health liaison program and working with our information technology individuals, as well as our chief's office at the time, to actually get cell phones in the hands of officers, and did a big study on that and drive time and officer time and everything to work for to get that funding. As an officer, became an emergency vehicle operations instructor, an EVOC instructor, so our emergency driving and pursuit driving. I served on our officer advisory committee. I was a field training officer for 3 years. And for a short time when we had an ad hoc leadership advisory committee, I also served as a patrol representative on that. After my patrol, when we looked to continue our mental health program within the department, I was one of the five original mental health officers that were selected and helped form and grow the what is now known as our mental health unit. We at the time did not have any supervisors or it was just the five officers in the five districts. And so taking on that informal leadership role and really helping to drive that forward. During that time, I was a mental health officer for 2 years before I was promoted to sergeant. During those 2 years, I served as our national learning site point of contact with the Bureau of Justice Assistance, coordinated several different site visits, taught nationally and across our state in crisis intervention and various topics within that. I was a lead in helping stand up and start the crisis intervention training in our county, and then served on the state advisory board for crisis intervention training, and really helped to kind of form and develop what that has become today as well. Very proud of my time as a mental health officer and some of the changes and everything that we've done as a department. And to really be on the front end of that and spearheading some of those initiatives means a lot to me. So then about 8 years as an officer, I was promoted to sergeant. I then went on to our night shift. I worked in our South Police District primarily, but as the new sergeant, you get bumped across the whole city. So I usually spent half my week on the west side of the city and half my week on the northeast side of the city. So as a sergeant, I really got to know our city very well. I spent 2 years on night shift and then moved back to the afternoon shift as a sergeant. And then in my end of my third year as a patrol sergeant, I put in and competed for the position of our criminal intelligence sergeant. During that time in patrol, I was also a field training sergeant in my second and third year and worked very closely with all my platoons and making sure that happened. Then as a criminal intelligence sergeant, I managed our criminal intelligence officers, our civilian crime analysts, as well as four criminal intake unit detectives. So at the time in our department, that was the only sergeant position that managed all three varieties. So I had detectives, officers, and civilians. We now have a couple of sergeant positions that incorporate more. But I took a lot of pride in that. I learned a lot during that time. I worked very closely with the front office, as well as a lot of our partners. As you can imagine, that criminal intelligence aspect, not only works with our local partners, but our state and federal partners and our community organizations as well during that time. I was in the criminal intelligence sergeant spot for 2 years and then competed and was lucky enough to be selected to lieutenant. As a new lieutenant, so that would have been in 2020 is when I was promoted to lieutenant. Originally, I was put as our officer in charge on the afternoon shift. So I worked in the OIC's office for approximately 9 months. And then there was some more waterfall and movement and shift changes. And then I was lucky enough to be placed in our investigative services bureau. So our detective bureau and everything that comes in that. And I was one of our investigative services lieutenants. And then specifically, I supervised in that role our special victims unit, which included our human trafficking and internet crimes against children. I then also supervised what I had as a sergeant at one point, the criminal intelligence section, the criminal intake unit, and the crime analysts. And then that lieutenant is the backup to our other investigative services lieutenant, which oversees our violent crime unit, burglary crime unit, our Gen Cat, I think I already said burglary crime unit, but you're the backup to them. So during that time, was lucky enough to be a part of a number of different initiatives. Most of my heavy lifts were in the special victims world. Really bolstered what we were able to do as a unit. We were looking at different grants and opportunities. One of the things right before I was put into this acting captain role that we were able to kind of get over that finish line was actually dedicating two detectives kind of within that unit that primarily worked on those internet crimes against children cases. And so they would still at times take normal SVU cases. They were still part of that special victims unit. But what that did was it turned our turnaround time from when we would get those cases to actually being able to act on them. It significantly reduced that time, and we saw an increase in our ability to investigate those cases. There are a number of different initiatives and SOPs and other things that I've been a part of in helping rewrite with other commanders as an officer, as a sergeant, and as a lieutenant. Been a part of a few different budgetary aspects in that regard. And so those have been kind of my primary roles. And I briefly talked as an officer about some of the committees, some of the specialty units, so my auxiliary roles within some of those ranks. As a sergeant, I was the team leader for our crisis negotiation team within our SWAT team for 3 years. So I am a trained negotiator and led that team of dedicated, small but dedicated individuals within the SWAT team. I have been on our special events team, our crowd control and crowd management team since I was off probation. I served on that team as an officer. I served as our grenadier and munitions supervisor as a sergeant. I helped form a lot of the new teams that are just staples. I was some of the first rapid bike response team. I was a medic on the team. As a lieutenant on the team, helped stand up and develop our community dialogue team. And so just really, again, being on the front end of a lot of those, helping push those initiatives through. Continue to serve on that team as a sergeant lieutenant and now in my acting captain role, I still do serve on that team. As a sergeant, I was lucky enough to get onto our honor guard team that holds near and dear to my heart as well. And as a lieutenant, I was the team lieutenant, which coordinated all the events and personnel and communication for any both line of duty death funerals, but also retiree funerals, flag ceremonies and presentations for major events or internal events across the city. I've been lucky enough to stay on that team as a deputy commander, although much more removed from all that planning and supporting the team and getting them some budgetary items and things that have been very needed there. So I told you I wouldn't take too long, but that's kind of an overview. I've done a number of different things within my career, and hopefully that gives you just kind of an outlook into what I've done over the time that I've been on the Madison Police Department. And happy to answer or go in more depth or any questions about any of that as well.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions? Mary.
So if you could, Captain, first of all, congratulations for the designation from the chief. If you could just kind of talk a little bit about your current assignment. I see you have your Captain Barzan, so you're serving in that role. And what that assignment is, and what do you see are some of like the kind of the challenges or your kind of where do you see in the short term things that you need to go with that? And then I'll ask another question later on longer term stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was promoted into the acting captain role in the middle of May and have been serving in this role since then. And I am currently serving as the captain of traffic and specialized services. And so that doesn't mean a whole lot if you don't know what all those specialized services are. So my oversight includes all of our special events. So all races, the Ironman, marathons, concerts, the UW football games. If you think it's a special event in our city, it falls within and involves the police department. It falls within my team for that. We also, under kind of that umbrella, it's been a very busy summer. All these dignitary visits that we've been having, I am your lead planner for that and have been doing that over the last 6 months. I essentially serve as what's called the operations chief. So working with all of our specialty teams and overseeing the planning for all of these dignitary visits and then serving as that main person in the command post. We have, so traffic, I have our traffic enforcement and safety team, our test team, and then I have our traffic investigators. So our fatal and serious crash investigators that kind of fall under that traffic umbrella. Specialized services then, I have our forensic services unit. So our crime scene investigators that are out there processing the crime scenes. Which also then includes our digital forensic unit. So anything when you think about cell phones, computers, or anything that we bring back in evidence that needs to be downloaded and analyzed, they are a part of that process. We also have our video analyst and a lab technician that does a lot of different processing for open records requests and DA requests for anything in that regard. I also then oversee our property room and the five evidence facilities that we have, which includes a supervisor and five staff. And then I oversee our vehicle fleet and all of the equipment that comes with the vehicle fleet and making sure that that is processed. And that is everything from the new squad orders and outfitting those to when squad crashes happen, working with Eric Viem and our risk management office and being plugged into kind of that whole process, working with our fleet coordinator there. So it's a lot. I've been learning a lot. I would tell you that each one of those has their own needs, their own processes, their own budgets. And so a lot of my job in those first few months was really to understand, and I will tell you, I'm still learning all the different processes and procedures that those teams have. I have great people, great leadership in all of those areas, and so I'm very blessed in that regard. They have been amazing and very helpful during that learning process for me. Some of those needs, right? There's priorities no matter where you go, no matter who you ask. I could always use more staffing, right? No matter which one of those areas, they are barely getting by in certain aspects. You know, when we talk about traffic, I know that this is something the chief and I have talked about. Traffic is the number one complaint across the city. And so when we look at my one sergeant and five officers that are part of the test team, you know, that obviously has an impact to them. Where we work very closely with the districts and all the resources that exist in all the districts. But that is kind of one of the things. I very quickly had to work with our digital forensic unit and our information technology team, as a lot of things are transitioning to the cloud server, right? So we've had physical huge servers that have housed a lot of our evidence and electronic evidence. And so working with all the different partners for that transition, but also the budgetary aspect of that, because it's not a physical thing. It's a fee for service sort of aspect. And so working through all of that and the budget process at the captain rank is still something that I'm fully embracing and learning. I got to be involved in it as a lieutenant in different areas, but just all the different aspects that come into play at the senior management level here is something that I feel comfortable and confident in, but certainly, you know, is that learning curve as well. I hope that Commissioner Schoff, did that kind of answer kind of what I'm overseeing and doing right now? Okay. And I know you had a follow-up question too, I think.
I was going to let other commissioners jump in and then I'll come back. So,
Commissioner Fudge Hart, any questions?
No, sir.
Captain Worley, as you have moved through your various administrative positions, how has your leadership style evolved, and what would you say are the main components of that style?
Yeah, so obviously as you continue to move into those different ranks and leadership roles, I would say that the information that you are looking for continues to grow to make those decisions. You have to trust your people, right? So you give them those clear expectations and making sure that you are always accessible to them in that regard. And, you know, I think my biggest growth in that leadership aspect is making sure that, you know, particularly as a captain, I have that full view, right? You're not looking at just a single operational aspect, but what is that full picture? What are the other items at play? What are the other organizations, agencies, aspects of the city that need to be brought into that conversation? And as an officer or a sergeant, you aren't necessarily considering those types of things, if I'm being honest, right? You are more in that operational aspect of the task. And so it's much more than just that task at hand, but what is that bigger picture? When it comes to my leadership style, I would tell you that although the view and what you are ultimately responsible continues to grow, I would say that as a leader, my leadership has not changed, you know, as far as who I am, right? And who my officers and those that I work with have received. I treat people fair. I'm consistent. They know what my expectations are. And no matter what rank I've been at, I think that everyone that has worked with me, for me, in some way has felt that, you know, and so I continue to know that as you climb in rank, that responsibility falls to you, right? To make sure that you are following up accordingly, that those I's are dotted and those T's are crossed, you know, and having that bigger picture. And my best example for you with that is these dignitary visits in a way, right? We have multiple different aspects that are at play, from the different site venues, to the motorcade, to traffic posts, to our SWAT team, to our SET team, to having other specialties like mounted patrol or our unmanned, our drones, are all in play, right? And they each have their own commanders that are setting those rosters, briefing them, And it's my responsibility to give them that full picture, that full expectation for them to move forward and carry out that plan. We still have regular meetings. I still check in with them. I'm still asking those clarifying questions and direct questions at times. But you really do have to trust your people to lead after you've set those expectations and kind of set that plan in place. I feel that every situation calls for a different type of leader at times. And so there are times where, I do need to be more of that mentor and coach. There are times that I need to be a more direct leader, and we will have that conversation after we deal with this safety concern or this whatever is immediately at hand. But I always have an open door. Everyone always has always felt comfortable to come to me and talk to me before, during, or after. Obviously, there's a time and place. But I think that's an important aspect, is that you do make sure that people know they can approach you. They can bring those concerns to you. But also know that there are different ways of going about that. And so there are times where, I'm that mentor, I'm that coach. There are times where I am a member of the team as we move forward and execute that. Although in that leadership role, you are a member of that team as you move forward for that task. And then there are times where, you are that direct leader, that direct commander, setting that expectation, setting that directive at times. And it's a balance. I think looking at and having a what I feel is a good understanding of kind of that emotional intelligence end of things is an important aspect for any leader to have.
And how does that translate into your interactions with the public?
Yeah, I think the same way I would work with and listen to and interact with my officers is exactly right. I'm listening to, interacting, and having that open door with anyone from the public that also reaches out. My name and email are out on that website, just like every other captain. And I get those phone calls, I get those emails, I respond and answer those questions. If they fall within my realm. If they don't, I reach out and I do what I can, and then I connect them in that warm handoff with the person that does have that responsibility that they're looking for. So really, those partnerships are huge for me. It's been a big part of my progress, I guess, or progression through this department, whether as a patrol officer or all the different community partnerships and relationships that I had to have while working in that mental health realm. As a street supervisor, you're the one interacting with the media on that crime scene generally, and having those conversations with your apartment managers and your community leaders from that day-to-day aspect. As a lieutenant, right, in the OIC's office, that's where everyone calls. Just having that calm, cool approach. I pride myself in that no one ever has to worry what kind of day I'm having. Right. I come to work and I am calm, cool, and professional. Even if something else is happening in my life, they know that they can come to me at any point, and they don't have to worry about, is this a good day or a bad day for the sergeant, lieutenant, captain? And that's really important to me, that my people feel comfortable, in that. And to your point with the community question, the same thing for the community. The community should feel open to come and ask any question that they have. Maybe I can answer it in full. Maybe I can't, and we need to go find other things, or there's a better venue to have that discussion. Just having that open door, that open policy, and communicating. That's where we all can do all our best job, is making sure that we have those open lines of communication. And I would argue that is absolutely true for anyone in the community that would want to contact me or reach me. I try to get outside when I can for a short walk around the Capitol or a coffee. And I have conversations with our community members, a dozen times in that one lap around the Capitol, just from people wanting to interact and talk or ask a question about something that's happening. So I think that's important, right? To have that approachable aspect, and I think I am approachable for that.
Thank you, Commissioner Schoff.
My question was kind of similar to yours, so I don't want to tread on territory we've already done, but I guess the one piece I'd ask you to it sounds like throughout your career and the early material you shared, there was always that interactive piece, proactive piece with the community. And as in the captain role you're in now, it's very internal customer focused in a lot of ways. And then I was wondering, do you see any opportunities though for proactive engagement of the community with that role?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, right? And so all those different teams have different community interactions. And so there are absolutely opportunities for me as the captain to be plugged into those. You know, I also work very closely with our fleet services and the radio shop. And, you know, when we have those big community events, you know, it's the specialized services team and traffic that are at your, you know, safety Saturdays and at your bike rodeos and at the different community picnics, when we can get those motorcycles out there and anything else. And so from a captain standpoint, you know, yes, there's absolutely ways that we can help foster that, that I can be at those, and have those conversations, no different than a district captain would be doing in different district events. And so, you know, to your point, Commissioner Schoff, there's a lot of internal communications that my role has. And I would say that's internal across city agencies, not just the police department and everyone that I have to work with. And you know, all these dignitary visits, we're working with traffic and engineering and city IT and all the different things that play that come into that. And so, yeah, I do think there are opportunities that are there. You know, I've been just trying to get my feet under me and learn all these different aspects. But yes, I do think there are opportunities there as I hope I can stay in this role, assuming I'm confirmed by all of you, but hope I can stay in this role for a few years so that everything I'm learning, I can then work towards moving that needle, right? For some of these different units that I supervise in the department as a whole. I take pride in that. I take pride in how can I continue to move it forward, even if I'm not the one that sees the end results and I moved into a different role. If I can start that motion and start to move that needle in that positive way, that's always my goal, right? Is how can we improve as a department, but also that interaction with our partners, be that the community, be that other city agencies. You know, that's always been a focal point of mine.
Thank you.
How long have you been in the role as the interim?
I've been in this acting role since the middle of May, so 5-ish months, I think. Does that come about right? June, July, August, September. Yeah, about 5 months.
Well, thank you for this opportunity and for your candor. Are there any questions you have of us?
I've asked a lot of, you know, obviously been through this with other promotions, asked some questions to Captain Patton and the chief's office just about the process. So no, I'm excited to officially be put in front of you for consideration. You know, I feel that I'm doing a very good job in this role. I have a lot of different community boards that I sit on and executive board experience that has benefited me from that senior level management. And I know a lot of those are in my resume that you will all see if you haven't yet, is my understanding. But just kind of that operational and capital budget experience from the different board of directors that I've sat on. And then, you know, just having that senior level management, although this is the first time in the law enforcement role, I have served in that capacity for other community organizations that I'm a part of. So just to make sure that you were all aware of that too, in case you didn't happen to see my resume. So.
Well, thank you. In the past, before COVID, these meetings used to take place in person and probably were a bit less formal, but we appreciate your adjusting to this format. Wish you the best of luck, and we will be making our decision based upon our review of your personnel file and our discussions pursuant to that. So, are there any other questions or comments from the commissioners?
None. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Captain Worley. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Absolutely. You all as well. Thank you for your time. And I'm sure I will interact with you many times forward. So have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
You too. So I believe that brings us to the end of our business for today. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move adjournment.
A second.
Is there a second? Been moved and seconded that we adjourn this meeting. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say no. The motion carries. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.